honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, coming down the home stretch with 100-year-old Bill DeGeneres of Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Born in Louisiana, raised in Southern California, but in the Pacific with the Marines as a Navy corpsman when World War II came to an end. And you heard Bill say just before we left off that he's here today, and so many of his fellow World War II veterans feel the same way, because President Truman made the decision to drop nuclear bombs on Japan, avoiding what would have been a far more catastrophic and deadly invasion of Japan.
I'm here because of two bombs. I don't thank the bombs. I mean, you know, that's a terrible thing. It's only one thing that it did, and that stopped the war.
Well, we wouldn't have this conversation otherwise, and we also wouldn't have some amazing artwork that you've produced in over all these decades since then. And I know you worked a few jobs, you went to college, you met your wife, but technical illustration, a lot of people wouldn't even know what that means. It kind of became your life's work. What are some of the pieces or drawings that you came up with, paintings, that give you the most pride?
Well, technical illustration, like I learned it, is taking engineering blueprints and converting them into two-dimensional or three-dimensional illustrations from the blueprint, so that it could be printed and labeled for use as parts illustration for catalogs for mechanics or other people or engineers want to see what the product looks like and how to take it out of that, like part of an engine or part of an air conditioning system or any systems in an aircraft that comes apart had to be labeled and put into a catalog. And that's what we did. I learned to do that. Right down to the nuts and bolts, label the nuts and bolts, any part. And they wanted, if it had to be serviced, we had to have an illustration of. At Brown, it was Bob Brown Illustration Company that I worked for. That's where I got my training. And I stayed there for over a year. And I got more money after a while from that. And that's when I went into more illustration and color and painting illustration with this engineer. Because when I first went to System Development Corporation, they needed drawings of the coastline of California, of different installations. Well, they had Nike Hercules installations all up and down the coast at the time. So they needed pictures of the illustration of where there was anti-aircraft deal, because System Development Corporation was a company that was making illustrated and movable, like a Mickey Mouse cartoon. They made moving illustrations of incoming aircraft and bombing by foreigners that they thought would be the Russians at the time. So we did a lot of illustration of big catalogs of complete invasions of the United States of all over for NASA.
That's a story all on its own. That's a surreal thought to have to put onto paper the way you did. And I'm going to put up some photos, if it's okay, at hometownheroesradio.com and the Hometown Heroes Facebook page to see some of your artistic talent. What's the story behind this painting that's still at the Smithsonian?
Well, I don't know. I'll have to show it to you. It's of the first space shuttle. Uh-huh. Space shuttle taking off into space. I was working with this scientist, Bob Salkill. Robert Salkill. He was developing new types of exotic propulsion systems for spacecraft. And the first one would go on the space shuttle, which was developed with the propulsion system on the aircraft for taking off and going into space. And that was later, they dropped that and just used that for coming back to Earth, for retroing back into Earth. So the painting that he wanted to see was of the space shuttle taking off, shooting out the flames at the back, heading off into space from the Earth. And that's what I did in color. It's all three-dimensional.
How long did that take you?
Oh, between a couple of drawings, two or three drawings, preliminaries, several. And he lived in Sacramento at the time, so I would get a rental car and drive up to see him. and with new illustrations, and in between times he was going back and forth to other places. I don't know what he would do. I'd take him these illustrations from the blueprints and from the preliminary drawings that he had made with other engineers. So from that I developed what they wanted to see. And this is a space shuttle of the space or shuttle taking off, heading towards us out to outer space.
You didn't get to see that at the Smithsonian when you went on the honor flight, did you?
No, I did not get to see it. It was somewhere at the Smithsonian, somewhere.
Didn't have time to dig through all their collection. But speaking of the honor flight, I mean, this is so many years after the war that you end up going to Washington, D.C., 70 years after you were there with the Marines throughout the Pacific. What was that experience like for you? What were the parts of that that stood out for you?
It was so quick and fast. Everything was great to see. I mean, to go see the Smithsonian and see the different things that they had, several different aircraft. In fact, they had one of the spacecraft that they shot off around the Earth from first modules, what they call, that type of thing. It was so great to see it. And they had models of ships and things like that. It was just great to see. It was so quick to go. I wanted to spend a week there, but we just couldn't do it, you know.
Well, I do want to ask you specifically about a couple other things you saw there, and thanks for so much of your time here. The Marine Corps Memorial, and that's where that quote that I mentioned earlier is etched. Admiral Nimitz, among the Marines in the Pacific War, uncommon valor was a common virtue. And I'm thinking you saw that firsthand. And you cared for some of these wounded Marines who had things you'd never seen before. You talked about identifying bodies by their teeth, that they were in that kind of condition. When you saw that Marine Corps memorial with that quote on it and thinking about everything it represents, what was that moment like for you?
You're talking about the memorial for Iwo Jima. Mm-hmm. It broke me up. Just brought back, pardon me.
It's a powerful place.
That was a highlight of my trip there, to see that. That's really something. I still don't know his name. Somebody told me that one of the corpsmen who's on there was in my graduating class from the Corps School. I'd like to double check that. I've got a list somewhere in my old stuff of my Corps School graduating class. I've got a list of all the people in that. I'd like to double check that. Get the name of the corpsman on there. It's not a great deal, but it's something that I would think. I knew that guy. He was in my company, you know, because that's quite a thing to see.
And we know that the emotions are real and that the lives were real, and 406,000 American lives were the cost of World War II, not to mention so many wounded physically and otherwise. You mentioned a friend who came back all broken up. I know it wasn't easy for your brother as a fighter pilot in Europe. When you went to that World War II memorial, here a war that you and your brother and your father all served in, and there's that wall of gold stars there representing those 406,000 Americans. Were there some thoughts that went through your mind or reflections while you were looking at that?
Oh, you think about the things that you saw and happened on all the way from New Zealand through the Solomons, all the way into the Marianas and some of the atolls, and a ship being blown up, and I saw a few aircraft shot down, things like that. Those things go through your mind, and you know you're so glad nothing happened to you, but you're so sad about the other Marines and the friends that you lost. You know, they'll always be gone. I still have a lot of tender thoughts about Marines. The Marines I knew, they were a bunch of good guys.
Well, and you shared the name of one of them who was killed on Guam, not too far away from where you were, Herb Clark. Have you ever thought, well, maybe let me ask you this. Can you tell us what kind of guy he was? Like, what he was like?
He was a big guy. He was about, 6'2". And a very happy person, very intelligent guy, and he was married before we went out overseas. He had a beautiful wife. Of course, I met her later, and we played pinochle together. We talked a lot of times, and it was just a type of a good friendship. He was went back up to Auckland from Pukekohe, and he was in the same load, went up there, and everybody disappeared when they got into Auckland. And he'd tell me about some of the nice times he had, met some nice girls. It was kind of fun. You know, he wasn't a philanderer or anything like that. Very personable guy. I really liked him, and he used to tell me about his home life and what he was going to do after the war. He wanted to go back to college. I don't know what he was going to do. And he'd tell me about his wife and family there. His family was well-to-do, and his wife family well-to-do. And, of course, I saw their place in Beverly Hills when I was there. And the people were there. They were all super nice people, really, really good. And I'll always remember him for being just a nice guy.
Well, one thing I don't want to forget to say is thank you. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for telling us a story that helps us understand the price that's been paid for our freedom. I know 100 years is a lot to look back over, but when you think about that, the 100 years you've spent on the planet, is there something that you look back on and you'd say, that's what I'm most proud of, or that's what I'm most thankful for?
Well, I'm proud to have served my country. Number one, I did what I can. Nothing memorial happened to me other than I served my time, and it was with honor. I served two stints in the military. After my time during World War II, I was going to college, and I joined the Naval Reserve again while I was with Santa Monica City College, and I served 2 years of that. And during the 2 years, up came the Korean War. And I was called back into duty 1950 to 1951, and I spent my time at the dental clinic at the Marine Corps while I was there. So I finally got back into dentistry. But that was an enjoyable time. It was nice. I was a first-class petty officer, and I had the same privilege duty in the Marine Corps when rank has its privilege. And I was in the same rank privilege as Sergeant Major. So we had our own mess hall and go in and have linen on the tables and recruits serving you. It was wonderful. Yeah. I had a good time there.
Just one more question, and if there's anything I didn't ask you about that you think we ought to know, feel free, whether it's about the military or your artwork or anything else. But I asked you to look back over 100 years and what you're most proud of. Let me ask you to look forward a little bit too, because you don't seem to be slowing down too much. People can hear how sharp you are. Is there something that you haven't done in these 100 years that you're still hoping to do, that you're looking forward to, and say, hey, maybe someday I'll get to do X, Y, Z?
I'd love to go see the Smithsonian Institution. Mm-hmm. It'd be wonderful. Maybe I could run across my painting there. I don't know. Yeah. But if not, I'd like to spend a few days and go through there and have a guide to show me different things that I know are there. And the aircraft, the history and things that are in there from way back before World War I. It's a marvelous institution, and I still get the Smithsonian Institution magazine. I get that every month, and there's some great stories in there. Oh, something I look forward to.
Well, maybe if we reach out to them, they can locate your masterpiece there and make sure it's ready for you when you get there. Was there anything else that you wanted to include that I didn't bring up?
No, well, I'm 100 years old now, and I'm looking forward to much more than I have right now. I am in halfway decent shape. I don't walk as well as I used to. I have to have a cane, and I don't suffer any illnesses. Other than that, I'm living day to day. I was living in Oakhurst in a mobile home and by myself, and I had a lot of friends around me then. But it was becoming a pretty lonely existence since I had lost my wife a few years ago. And my son was always asking me, he says, come up when you want to. And I did visit him one time a couple, 3 years ago. And I liked it up here. And so he says, anytime you want, Dad, come on up. And I've been sit permanently. So that's what I've done. And it's turned out very well for me. They look out for me like I'm a star. They really treat me nicely. I would still like to be back in Oakhurst. I enjoyed that. But that's a no-no. I can't do that.
I guess I do have to ask you what your secret is. Because, like we talked, you're 100 years old and everything I just said. So how do you do that? What's the secret? What advice do you have for someone else who wants to be you?
Question 100 times and there's probably 100 answers, you know. Moderation, for one thing, is I think, don't overdo things. Get plenty of sleep. Have fun. If you're single, have girlfriends or boyfriends. And enjoy the opposite sex. Be moderation. Don't be a jerk, you know. Just enjoy life in as nice a way as possible. What else can you say?
Bill DeGeneres, 100 years old. Don't forget to check out the photos and video of Bill at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. And the honor flight that he took was from California's Central Valley back in 2016. There's another one of those flights this coming week. So if that's where you live, welcome home 74 veterans on the 28th Central Valley Honor Flight on Wednesday, April 17th at the Fresno Yosemite International Airport. Wherever you're listening to Hometown Heroes today, I'm Paul Leffler saying thank you for that, and I hope you can join us again next time when we'll be reminded again through the stories of our veterans that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.